Welcome back to the Jibber Jabber podcast. On this week's edition, I will be speaking to Calm These Tides. We talk about their new song, Lip Service, what the future holds for the duo, music in general, and everything from influences to nighttime football. So stay tuned for that exciting conversation. As you guys may be aware from the description, this episode is brought to you only by myself. J-Mac has officially left the Jibber Jabber podcast. For one episode. Kind of get rid of him that easy. J-Mac actually was supposed to be on this episode, but due to bowel movements, many of them, he had to sit this one out. You know what I mean? Get up and sit this one out. Severe case of ring stingamus. So I actually caught up with the band myself, the duo, and we chat about lots of cool stuff. So anybody that's listening that may be into making music themselves, this one's for you. And even if you don't, you know, it's still pretty cool to see how, you know, two people come together and make some exciting music. You will hear the song at the end of the show as well, so stay tuned for that. I'm pretty sure you can already hear a slight sample of it now. So before we get into the interview, I'd just like to let you know that we have some really cool stuff coming up soon. So make sure to keep checking in with us, follow us on Facebook, Twitter. You can actually go to our own official website as well at www.jibberjabberpodcast.com, and you can find all our links to social media, everything we've ever done, all our episodes, previous episodes. So check us out there. Make sure you subscribe to our ever-growing YouTube channel, which has seen a real influx of subscribers recently. I wonder what that could have been, Danny. So guys, make sure to stay tuned, because some really, really exciting stuff's coming up, just like this interview after this ad. A quick pause for the cause. Right now we want to tell you about our friends over at Truffle Shuffle. They've teamed up with your favourite podcast, that's right, Jibber Jabber Podcast. Head over to truffleshuffle.com and use our discount code JibJab15 when you spend 20 sheets, that's right, 20 bucks or more, and get a whopping 15% off any t-shirt, hat, fridge magnet, or any cool little trinket. They have thousands of your favourite movie-related apparel and gadgets, from a Game Boy wrist piece to a mug from Central Perk, that's right, the Cafe for Friends. They have everything you need. Head over right now and enter JibJab15 to your shopping cart at checkout. That's truffleshuffle.com, JibJab15. Okay, joining us on Jibber Jabber Podcast this week, we have Andy and Lewis from Calm These Tides. How are you guys doing in lockdown?
Doing okay.
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, you managed to record a full song in lockdown. I'm right, that Lip Service was recorded digitally with you guys while in lockdown, yeah?
Kind of. I mean, part of it was recorded during lockdown, but part of it was recorded 3 years ago. So.
Ah, right. Wow. So was that like a demo originally then?
Yeah. It's a bit of a long story, but I'll try and keep it interesting. By interesting, I mean short. Andy and I used to be in a band together years ago, and that was kind of coming to an end. We had fully prepared to carry on doing something, the two of us, but because life gets in the way, we just never really got around to it. But this is a song that Andy wrote himself, about 3 years ago or so, and then we collaborated on a bit, built it out, but we never really finished it. So Andy sent it back over to me in March, I think, and said, "Oh, do you remember this?" I was like, "Oh, it's really good." So we decided to finish it.
Oh, nice. And was that already, did Andy send it over and be like, "Right, we need to finish this to go, you know, to become this duo," or did you already have this idea, or was that just because Lip Service hadn't been done and you just wanted to work on it and it kind of grew from that?
I would say there was absolutely no plan more than, "Do you remember this? Oh, yes." I'm like, yeah. Hang on, lockdown gives us time to actually maybe finish something, because we've started, as we probably go on to mention, we've started a lot and never really got around to quite finishing it. You know, it was one of those, as we all do. But I think it was the first thing I sat in the studio just noodling around with something ages ago after the band finished, because missed doing that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And that was the first thing I'd done that I thought, actually, this is half decent, sent it to Lou. And because all of the band stuff, if you look back in the previous band, Lou wrote all of the songs. So this is kind of my first swing at it, and I can't do lyrics, I can't do melodies for vocals, all that sort of stuff. So Lou sort of got hold of that, and
maybe he would have done it all himself.
Ah, right. No, I mean,
I needed him. Otherwise, it was inconveniently needed him.
Yeah, I've been playing music for about 15 years, and I always find that the best stuff that I ever do is when I'm with other people, because I think there are musicians and writers that can just sit down with a pad and a couple of instruments and make it work, but there's also musicians that the best of them come out when they're in that kind of collaborative, atmosphere. And that for me is one. I find that over the course of the last 15 years, anytime I went to write a song, I think even in this room, I've still got boxes and boxes of old songs from like 2006. And whenever I'm in like a musical project or whatever, sometimes I'll even dip in and steal like a wee middle eight section, and put it into a. Do you ever find you do that? Just make like a buffet of your old songs?
All the time. in between doing bands and things, like, I've always threatened to do a bit of an acoustic career and like release the amount of people I know who just have a go at me all the time. So I'm constantly going, oh, I'm going to do that EP. I'm going to do that album this time. Never, ever do. But the amount of times also, as soon as we get around to collaborating on something, I'm like, oh, I'm going to use that thing I never used then. I'll just borrow everything. But the issue is I normally, if I write something, like if it remains unfinished long enough, I start to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Working with other people, at least, if you do something and they like it, they don't let you just delete it and forget it. So
yeah,
I always find that as well.
Yeah, and it's nice to also see, I kind of look at it as like a meal. It's kind of good if you bring the meat and the veg and someone brings the, the gravy. And for me, the gravy, right? that wasn't intentional.
I should have checked before we started. Is this a family podcast? Or if I...
Oh, right. Well, Lou hasn't listened to many of our previous episodes. This is far from a family podcast. far. Sorry?
Oh, you're on the red, a beaker of red.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean because I'm drinking alcohol. I meant because I'm likely to swear.
Oh, but I've been with you before and I've seen what happens. So I just wondered if you were gauging it now.
It's fine. This will be the civil part.
Nice. I'm having a modest Budweiser. I always tend to just have it as a wee nice son whenever I'm recording with J-Mac. But he likes to put them away on a podcast. He drinks a lot of Henry Westons. That's probably why he has the shits right now and is not here joining us. Too much Henry Westons.
That's punishment for drinking cider, that is.
Absolutely. Can't handle it. So you guys now obviously have formed Calm These Tides. And is the plan to remain a duo, or are you going to kind of, add a few extra musicians officially, non-officially?
A great debate.
Yeah. I think the joy that we've got now, and it's something that we've not had previously, is that it's very easy. Now Lou can record at home. Lou spent a small fortune making it happen for himself, so we can do that. I can record here. Getting together, because life is so busy a lot of the time, is hard to do. So actually now, it can be 11 o'clock any given night. I could come down here and do some stuff. And like I sent you some stuff the other night that you'll have woken up. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, we can do, It just makes it a lot easier to work with. As soon as you add more people, all getting in the same place at once and then being constructive can be really difficult,
Yeah, I mean, we live in the age of technology now, right? So we can be around the world and in the same place at once, right?
It's interesting as well, because we haven't really ever had a discussion, I say ever, since this started like 3 months ago, about any kind of live activity whatsoever. It was only ever intended. I mean, the original plan was to finish this song because we really liked it and wanted to finish it. I was just going to put it up on SoundCloud and just be like, ergo, here's a song, like, do whatever. It was only when we finished it and we're really happy with it, we thought, oh, fuck it, let's actually do this properly.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to go, oh, what about this other song? What about this other song? Oh, here's this other new thing. And then you start thinking, right, okay, well, if we're going to start building something, eventually someone's going to suggest that you play live. So then you're thinking, right, okay, well, do we get a live drummer for that? Or are we doing everything to a backing track? And we haven't really had that discussion, have we?
Yeah.
We've kind of touched on it previously, that if we're going to do a live show, you've got to have at least a live drummer on stage, I think, because otherwise... guy with a Mac and guy with a guitar. I mean, no one wants to see that. You can see how we look now as well. I mean, no one's got money for those.
Well, we put on here in Scotland. We actually booked the G-Tom Mac live cinema experience. You go see Lost Boys, and G-Tom Mac actually played with us. He brought over a keyboard player with a Mac. His name's Mark Kopman. And mate, that blew the place away. I don't know if it's because it's G-Ton Mac and it's, you know, Cry Little Sister and different various songs from the Lost Boys, but he done it, and you know what? I thought it was brilliant. It was actually really good.
We sort of said before, if we were going to do it, we'd have to make it kind of a show as well, kind of like, you know, have the screen with something to grab the attention as well.
Like the Synth Lords.
Watch as a performer, but historically, whenever I've performed, I've been either at the back in the corner or at least in the dark.
That was my design.
From both of us, I wanted to be in the corner.
Let's see.
The main issue, though, is the fact that, you know, saying it's all so much easier to do this from our own homes now. I mean, I think I've probably seen Andy in the flesh maybe 4 times in the last year.
Yeah.
So like, it's just so difficult for us to, well, for us, I do nothing with my life whatsoever. I buy records and sit around listening to them and drinking alcohol. Like, Andy's what he's going to do. But yeah, it's so difficult to kind of make it easy to be in the same place at the same time for the same amount of time as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, adding up conditions is really
tough. So, and when we get together, there are other distractions, like a PlayStation, a Master League, alcohol, and actually catching up as mates as well, you know.
Yeah.
And there is also something about the time pressure of like, right, we've got 4 hours to do something. That's not going to be, that's never that constructive. Whereas the way that we've done it, you know, taking what's essentially, 3 years, I think we said, 3 years. how quickly we've pulled it all out as lockdown have happened. It's gone quick, but yeah.
Yeah. I find that a lot of positives have come from lockdown. Obviously, excluding the negatives completely, but I think it's given everybody that shed that you never got around to painting, the fence that you didn't fix. It's the music, you know. Think about the platinum selling albums that are going to come out of lockdown when we're all back to normal.
Yeah,
you know,
it is one of the. I mean, I was saying this to somebody the other day. I felt a bit guilty in saying it, but like, other than the old kind of touch of things that make your gut go a little bit, this has been a fairly kind period to me, like in life in general. So, yeah, I do say it with a kind of twinge of guilt, but it's not something that I've been unhappy to experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's different for everybody, isn't it? I mean, think about it as podcasters, right? Jay and I have been chasing many different celebrities and actors, musicians, and they're always like, oh, too busy, too busy. It's like, well, what's your excuse now?
Well, it's on hold.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's kind of been good for us. We've never podcast as much as we have since it's been lockdown. Obviously, like, I'm working from home. J-Mac isn't, but he actually, you know, he's all right to kind of stay up and do it. We kind of do it at a later kind of time in the evening to podcast. But for us, it's kind of been able to give us a bit of steam, which is like what it's done for you guys musically. So you have one song that you recently released, Lip Service. Do you have several songs waiting in the wing, or are they ideas at this point?
Yeah, a bit of both, really.
Yeah.
Out the second single should be out this month. Andy's been messing around with the mixing of that for the last few weeks, but it's funny enough as well, it ties in quite nicely to Lip Service, because Lip Service took 3 years from conception to release.
Mm-hmm.
Next single is a song I wrote 9 years ago.
Wow.
So it's
9 years.
We're really digging back into like the vault of unused stuff that nobody else thought was good enough.
Yeah, well, hey, that's where the gems lie, though, right?
Exactly.
In the old cave.
there's lots of things. There's lots of things at the moment. We've got about 5 or 6 on the go, I think.
Felt like when I was listening to Lip Service, I can hear so many different, like, I don't even know if there are your influences, which we can get into in a sec, right? But I felt like I heard different elements of different bands, different artists, right? But one thing I felt that Lip Service is kind of like what they call an entree, a starter to the main course. I felt like that on an album or on an EP, that's the taster. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I feel like there's definitely an element of heavy, like, I don't know if I'm wrong, but I was thinking to myself, if all your songs are like this on an EP, there's going to be one or two that's going to really, you know, going to drop D tuning at some point. Is that something that's actually that I'm correct on, or is that, am I flying in the wind?
Heavily flute and oboes, actually, so it doesn't
yeah. really...
oboes. You're not wrong at all. Like, we've been very, very conscious about this, because like with bands before, you always kind of sit there and you're really hung up on your sound, and you want like your EP to flow nicely, you want your album to flow nicely, you want your set to be A to D or whatever of just absolute perfect knock 'em out of the park songs.
Yeah,
we just want to write music that we like. Now we're past the point of really trying to impress anyone. Or
that's good.
We if we end up with an album of like 10 songs, all of them sound completely different to one another, we're not going to care if people are going like, oh, well, you know, it's not, doesn't make any fucking sense, does it? Like, couldn't give less of a fuck, to be
honest. good
there'll be some surprises along the way. You're not far.
Yeah, I could feel it. It was almost like it was leading me to the gate, and then it's like it just a wait there. You know what I mean? I liked it. It had a very Elliott Smith kind of vibe to it as well. Are you guys fans of Elliott Smith? Yeah,
I am. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you are the singer, Lewis, right?
In inverted. Yeah, we're singer. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I can definitely hear. I can hear some Elliott Smith in your voice for sure. Nice. And I wondered if that was if you're a fan of that kind of work. I really liked an album he has called New Moon. I don't know if you're familiar with it. But Elliott Smith, I think you guys are the only person I'll say Elliott Smith to, and they're like, oh, I know who he is. Nobody seems to know who he is.
No, I know.
Why is that?
There's literally only two other people I know who are into him, one of whom I kind of turned him onto him, and the other is like an Elliott Smith super fan. Like every single time I see him, all he ever talks about is Elliott Smith.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's the thing is between the two of us. I mean, I'll let Andy speak in a minute because I already feel like I'm holding this a bit too much.
You do it. This is your
my own voice already. Between the two of us, there are so many different types of music and artists that we're into, and that Andy is into so much of the orchestral side of things and composers, we've both got lots of affection for like different types of electronic and dance music, but then there's the heavier rock stuff, the acoustic stuff. It's all just all of that kind of melted together, which really shouldn't work, but kind of does.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's one of my favorite band of all time is a band called Fightstar, and on their third
Busted.
Yeah. I've met them like 1,000 times. My room here is actually covered in signed material and stuff. But they had an album called Be Human, and it's exactly like I says, you guys have an entree that kind of leads, it definitely goes down that kind of route, which is obviously why I'm a fan, right? But they've got like half their stuff is in like drop D, drop C, but they've got strings on it as well. They've got some female backing singers. What I love about it is it's heavy, but it's not heavy as in like, you know, like Cannibal Corpse, orc metal. It's heavy, but it's melodic, and it's the word you would use is beautiful, right?
Yeah.
I think you don't like you can go to drop D with an acoustic guitar, and in the same kind of fashion as to what you guys make music with synthesizers and what. And as long as it's done right, I think it creates something just. A lot of the time when I speak, I'll explain things in metaphors. I'm really bad for that. But you feel like you're lying in a swimming pool, and the music's just, you know, it's trickling between your fingertips and your toes, you know?
I've always written a lot in drop D. We did have a song that I was playing in a heavier band when I was younger. We actually used in our last band, which was a little bit softer. That was a bit more Coldplay-esque kind of. Oh, bullshit, it was good, I liked it. One of our biggest songs, like biggest as in like somebody once called it Festival Ready. All in drop D, all acoustic drop D. The options you get there, especially with melody as well, just, it hasn't got to be anything that's like chugging away.
Right, exactly. When you say drop D to someone, they automatically think, you know, cram the distortion on and here we go, but no. Exactly. But it doesn't have to be. Even the open chords that you can play in drop D that really makes it, you know, sound, I don't know, melodic and just like that word I'd say, beautiful. Andy, you obviously, I've seen you live with the Synth Lords, one of my all-time favorite live theme music. I've never seen anything quite like the Synth Lords when I seen it live. So I imagine you bring that kind of, you kind of bring that layer to the project, the, you know, the very technical side of things with regards to keys and stuff here?
Probably not technical, no. I mean, it's, you're saying about different guitar tunings and stuff like that. We used to sit in a studio together in the previous band, and Lou would do some bizarre tuning thing, and I'd say to him, what chord is that? And he couldn't tell me what it was, and so we'd have to go through...
Has he froze on your screen? I think he's frozen.
Straight out, and then, well, what chord is that? Like, we would always get to that stage of...
Right.
Hello?
Can you hear me yet?
Yeah, I've got you loud and clear. Can you hear me okay?
Sorry, yeah, I think you froze on our screen, sorry. Can you just repeat that? Sorry, you said that he would play these chords.
Lou would come into the room with a new song, and it'd be like, okay, what chords are they? And unless it was a straight up, like, it would be, this is like a D with other stuff in it. It'd be like, right, okay, and we try and work it out. And you're saying it'd be like a drop D, but with an added seven, all this sort of stuff. But yeah. My music theory is terrible. So from the Synth Lord side of thing, you've got Luke, who is the player. I just like my ears, really. I think if it sounds good, I'm happy. That's all I need. Yeah. But any technique, you know, all this kind of stuff and all this, I'm blagging it, really, the whole thing.
we both are, really. I mean, I'm not exact. That's one of my favourite stories or like anecdotes about the old band is exactly what Andy just said, is the fact that I would stand there with three other musicians and they just say to me, what is that chord progression? I'd stand and like shake my head. It's like, well, it's this and it's a D, but it's not a D because it would be a D, but the change is this. Like, I'm not a musician at all. I can play some chords. I know what sounds nice. Mm-hmm. But that's it. Like Andy, especially in this incarnation, Andy's definitely more of a muso than I am. He's more talented than I am, put it that way.
You know, some of the best musicians in the world don't read music. Look at Noel Gallagher. You know, he couldn't read guitar music at all. But yet, look at the legacy leads. You know, I think music again, it's subjective. You don't to cook a good meal. You don't need to know, you know, what temperature every part of the meal has to be to make it what it is. You just know when you know, right?
Just taste it as you go along.
Exactly, and when it tastes good, or even if it tastes all right, just dish it up, right?
I actually think as well, Taste It As You Go Along should be the title of our album.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It makes make perfect sense, especially if there's going to be music that's very different from A to B. And when you were saying there, Andy, that, you know, you just blag it and see where it goes, mate, this is pretty much how my podcast began. We literally were like, right, let's start a podcast. Had all these ideas and all these visions, which, by the way, have all come to fruition. But the very first time I ever got to interview anybody from the TV was the Night King from Game of Thrones. And we literally lied our asses off to get into that building. It was great. We were like, yeah, we're from a very prestige podcast. And we've got these hundreds of thousands of followers that would love to hear us interview the Night King. And they're like, oh, okay, well, they must have it. I'm too busy to check. And we're just like, right, and you go and give us these passes. And I was like, yes. So sometimes you really just got to blag it, right?
Yes. Just say yes and then work out how to deal with it afterwards.
Exactly. The old Jim Carrey movie. Just say yes. So going from like influences, I'll maybe start with you, Andy. I know you're a movie themes guy, just like myself.
Yeah.
Who would you say your top influences are that you kind of draw upon when you're writing music?
I suppose nowadays there's people, like, you know, there's a lot of the movie guys I listen to. Thomas Newman is my favourite kind of Hollywood composer. Mm-hmm. The likes of Alan Silvestri, who can do these beautiful string arrangements, keep it really light, but then really dark all of a sudden as well. But then you've got bands, you know, this will probably get a few people going, who? But, you know, the likes of Coldplay, believe it or not, massive fan, absolutely love it. John Mayer, huge fan of John Mayer, which Lou introduced me to.
Oh wow!
And yeah, I mean, there's nothing.
Oh no, his audio was gone.
He's going to keep freezing.
About him that I should like. It's just I've gone again.
Ah, yeah. Sorry. You just froze. I think he froze again. Is he froze again? Oh. Shit.
That's what happens when you shed the diet.
That's when I discovered the...
Did that happen there on yours as well? He went from talking to drinking. sorry, mate, you get freezing there. Could you just repeat what you said initially?
Yes.
Oh, he's froze again.
I can. I will.
have to send you some overdubs. Can you record some overdubs, Andy?
Yeah, no, the likes of, I suppose, the Hollywood composers that I'm into, you know, people like Thomas Newman, mm-hmm. who the way that he composes is different to a lot of the others. So he'll compose a score to the scene, whereas a lot of the other people will score to an actor. And I think that, that gives a really interesting position. You've mentioned Alan Silvestri as well. Who's, is it, have I gone again?
Just ever so slightly.
I don't know what's going on. Hang on, let me see if I can make this better. I'm just seeing if I can give you loads of editing today. I'm going to go for different influences this time.
No worries.
Okay, if I think we're back. So, yes, Thomas Newman as a Hollywood composer who, the way that he sort of composes, I guess, is he will compose to the scene behind the action, whereas a lot of the other composers will composed to whatever's going on right at the front. You've got John Williams, who's really famous for obviously giving people themes, Hans Zimmer for just being an absolute monster. Then you've got, you know, the likes of Alan Silvestri, who have these beautiful string arrangements and can, you know, if anything, the Alan Silvestri, I'll probably take away that you don't need to do very much to get an awful big result. Some of the beautiful piano scores with nothing else going on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then band-wise, John Mayer is a big one because he can go anywhere from this incredible blues trio through to some really nice acoustic stuff. The likes of Coldplay, some of the earlier stuff as well. There's lots. I mean, the list could go on. There's lots of other people now that I would say are influences, but actually those are people that Lou's put onto me. Many of which I used to absolutely hate for years just because he wanted me to listen to them. And then I listened to them. In fact, there was, who was it? It was Jeff Buckley, wasn't it?
Oh, Jeff Buckley, mate. Oh, brilliant.
I Grace.
Ah, oh, no way. No way. I didn't
listen to Grace for years and years because Lou was like, you need to listen to this.
Yeah.
And the day that I finally properly listened to it from start to finish, and I'm fairly sure I had to get in touch with you and for very rarely give a wholehearted apology because normally we attack each other relentlessly until there's blood and stuff. But that time I was like, I've got that wrong. It's just that's still one of the greatest albums of all time.
Yeah, and Mojo Pin, I think, is the first track on that album, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I discovered Jeff Buckley when I was in, like, first year school. And that album, just, again, he along with Elliot Smith, are the kind of artists that, to those that know them, they're revered as icons. But when you say their name, a lot of the time, they're just going to be like, who? You know what I mean? And it's so strange, isn't it? So yeah. Strange.
The only good thing for me is that, I mean, Jeff Buckley changed my, I know it sounds so fucking like, pretentious to say shit like that.
No.
Hearing Jeff Buckley for the first time genuinely changed my life completely because it changed I was only really into like heavy bands. I mean, not heavy, heavy. I'm not into the old screamo stuff, but I needed it to be loud. And the first time I ever, a friend of mine introduced me to Jeff Buckley, I was watching him do Hallelujah live on the Chicago DVD. Oh, just blew my mind. It changed everything for me. It changed the way I started looking at music. It turned me on to loads of different artists. Changed the way I was writing songs. It absolutely blew my world apart. So the fact that he's gained a lot of notoriety more recently, like the last sort of like 5 to 10 years, than around, as opposed to when he was actually alive.
Yeah.
Is good. But as you say, there's still so many people who have no idea who he is.
Yeah, I know. It's a strange one. I would encourage anyone listening, which is a lot of you. Yay! Finally. I'd encourage you guys to go onto Spotify and listen to Jeff Buckley. I mean, the Grace is really the only album. I mean, there's a live one, but Grace is the Grace, right?
Not to like get into like Jeff Buckley PR mode, but you can also go and listen to it's a collection of demos basically for what would have been his second album called Sketches from the Sweetheart the Drunk, and that album is absolutely banging as well. So
is that good? Is that the one? Is it a red cover, that one?
Yeah, it's kind of like it's a weird kind of fractured cover where it almost looks like he's looking in a mirror on the front.
I did have that album.
There's a tune on there called Everybody Here Wants You, and it's just. The song itself is amazing, but there's one note he sings in it that if anything is going on around me when I'm listening to that song, everything else has to stop when that note comes up. Like if anyone's talking, it has to be like, shut the fuck up. The note
like, here it comes.
Yeah, he absolutely he rules my world, as it were.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And so, I mean, There we go. So I was going to ask you your influences. So Jeff Buckley being at the top of the, he's on your Mount Rushmore. Who would you say complements your Jeff Buckley on your Mount Rushmore?
This is kind of like one of the issues I have when people ask me this question, because a lot of people, because I have a bit of a background in writing songs and playing acoustically, people always throw like Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash at me, and I hate the pair of them. I can't stand them.
Like, oh,
just not me at all. Like my favorite band in the world are Manic Street Preachers.
Wow, very nice.
And there's not really a lot of influence of them you can hear in our music, but Manic Street Preachers, Radiohead, Blur, these were my three big favorite bands, like formative years. But Biffy Clyro as well, especially in their earlier days. But yeah, but Buckley, as a lot of that Andy listed, is pretty on the nose, to be honest. But more recently, I'm really quite heavily influenced in the way I write by people like Phoebe Bridgers and Noah Gunderson.
All right.
Are just out of this world. They're absolutely fantastic musicians. They write songs in a way that I've never been able to, really, which are more kind of like, they're honest, but still almost like telling stories with it.
Yeah.
A song about the fact they went to a shop one day, but make it sound amazing. Like, it's, I don't know how you do that. It's ridiculous. But yeah, it's a wide eclectic mix, which is, which sounds ridiculous when you actually listen to the music we make.
No, I definitely heard, I heard Biffy Clyro and your guys' music. I'm sure I mentioned that. Again, those are guys that drop the guitar tune in a lot, but they don't, it's not, it's not wild. There's a group called Deaf Havana. Yeah. There's definitely some Deaf Havana in you guys. I don't know if you're aware of that yourself. Sometimes it's a good thing when you accidentally start sounding like a soup of other great bands, right? But there's definitely that there. Deaf Havana, again, another band. Sometimes they play in different tunings, maybe lower tunings, but they're very melodic. I've seen those guys live. They put on a really good live show. So on the kind of note of doing live music, so when lockdown's over, I take it you guys have a plan to, I mean, there's conversations at least, right?
Could we have a plan? That was the to quote Optimus Prime, there is no plan, but yeah, I think we both love to do it. It's how we go about it, and then getting together to rehearse and all that kind of stuff, because when we were doing the old band stuff as well, we rehearsed hard until we were happy with it, because we are probably our own biggest critics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We locally, we're both, well, probably not so much anymore, but we were both known for being maybe taking the mickey out of people if they weren't quite good enough sometimes.
Right.
Employment, we both worked in the same music shop for a while, and it would mainly be members of staff. We'd have members of staff that would literally flee when we turned on them, all to help them out. So it wasn't all negative. It was like, we can make a better person here. But but on the back of that, we go through stuff until, I mean, the mix that the song we're doing now, it's been back and forth so many times, and we are making tiny tweaks. But if we didn't do that and we put it out there, that's all we'd hear every time we listen to it. And actually, we could probably have released it half a month ago, and it would have been fine. But we don't, you don't want to leave it there. You want to get to that level where you're like, yeah, that's the one. We kind of had this weird little idea where at some point, was it last year? We did a road trip down to the South Coast, listening to music. And Lou does like a 8-hour playlist to cover like each leg of the journey, and it's like I give him the where we're going, all that sort of stuff. And at some point, like the idea of being in the car and one of our songs coming on, just so we can go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, for me, that's almost end game. But to go back to your question, I'd love to play some of this stuff live, but I have no idea about the logistics of it at the moment, but it'll be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where it's kind of, that's where you're going to cut your teeth. I would recommend that you guys maybe even just get a drummer and just jump on one of the bands that are already, right now, I mean, especially in my area, my area is huge with like up and coming artists. You'll have heard of many of them, and they all kind of support each other. For instance, Lewis Capaldi, he lives like 5 minutes away from where I am now, and Ken, we grew up together in this area. And there's bands. Say it again, sorry.
Give them a call for us, then. That's fine. We don't mind.
I mean, I'll definitely send them your stuff. I mean, I imagine many people are sending them stuff at this point.
We can tell the song Lip Service was actually referred to the other day. we were featured in like a blog.
Yeah, yeah, I read that.
I wrote this. Oh, you wrote, yeah, because I wrote this down to make sure. Yeah. I remember. It was Snow Patrol, Coldplay, and Lewis Capaldi having a threesome while listening to Radio 2.
Nice. I'll send him that wee review in the hope that he goes and checks you out. But he's usually walking the streets. Well, not walking the streets, but you see him often enough.
By himself in the dark.
No, but you know what's strange, right? My town is so weird that there's so many just really big famous people just walking around, and because it's just so normal, nobody bats an eyelid. Like Subo, like I see her in Tesco all the time, man. Right? Yet she's like, again, Lewis is like 5 minutes this way, and Subo's 5 minutes that way. Right? It's crazy.
That's the jewelry we never knew we needed as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think when I think it was the time we came to see the Synth Lords on our trip back home up to Scotland from Manchester, we popped into Tesco and there was Subo, and I was like, hi Subo, and I took a picture and posted it. It was quite funny. I asked her to come on the podcast, so she was like, oh, I'll not be allowed. I was like, oh, well, but I tried. but like, the point I was making is, like, Lewis comes from this area, and he makes sure that when he does his big tours, that the support acts he takes with him are also groups from this area. There's a band called The Snuts. I'm not sure if you're aware of them. No. They're I think they were at number one like 2-3 weeks ago with one of their singles, like UK number one. There was them, and there's a group as well called Mark Sharp and the Bicycle Thieves. There's elements of you guys. I mean, if you could imagine you guys, but with a more indie rock kind of feel, That's what Mark Sharp and the Bicycle Thieves are. And we're doing a lot more work with them in the future as well. We've got projects lined up with those guys. But these guys look after each other. So maybe it might even be worth speaking to some of the bands that are local to you that are doing well and maybe doing tours and stuff, and just see, you know, get a feel for the crowd. And at least once you go out and do one or two shows, you're going to know what you're missing and what you're hitting right, you know. Like I said, G-Tom Mac, we saw him first time we met him was down in Manchester, and as you might already know, we're filming his documentary across America and here, obviously not right now, but we're keeping that going through lockdown. And we had him over here in Scotland to do a show to film as well, and it was the Lost Boys screening. And what we done was we had the visuals up on the cinema. He had a MacBook which controlled that and all the backing tracks, you know, and it was him with his guitar playing along to the backing tracks. And they had Mark, his keyboard player, playing what is it? What's that keyboard that Andy's not Andy? I've just drawn a blank. It's not Adam. Adam. I knew it began with A. I'm like, what the hell? Yeah, Adam's not so fond of them. They're called, well, the red ones are not Korgs. They are
Nord.
A Nord, yes. I had to rent a Nord for G-Tom Mac's keyboard player. Oh. Say again, sorry. I think you froze.
That's
again.
Very nice, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Nord. I had a shot at it, by the way. It's really, really nice. I don't know why Andy doesn't like them. Sorry, Adam doesn't like them. May just be because he knew he was on a podcast and he works for Korg, right?
It's either that or it's because you've actually got a player. I mean, you can't press a button, it plays it for you. So it could be that as well. I'm hoping you might be listening at some point.
Nice. We caught up with Adam. It was great. He came. We were down in Manchester again, working at one of the cons, and Adam came for a podcast, and he had nothing but nice things to say about you and Luke.
Lying through, sure of that.
Oh, nice. I think your audio cut out again. What did you say? Sorry.
I said if he was saying nice things, he was completely lying about us, I'm afraid.
Oh, well. I mean, it's always good to kind of fly the flag. I always say nice things about J-Mac when he's not here. Unfortunately, he's not here because he has ring sting and is severely occupied with the toilet at this point in time. It's a shame that we're not doing a live show, because then he could kind of be here in spirit, right?
Just hear panic in his voice if he's asking.
Listen.
And happy to look at it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You hear the splashing, can't you?
Absolutely. I mean, if you've ever been, and I have been, I've been in the public toilet while he's been in the cubicle, and I'll tell you, we actually made a t-shirt. There's an actual t-shirt you can get, and it's a picture of him taking a shit. And the speech bubble said, and I quote an actual sentence that came from him when he was in the bathroom, "It's not a shite, it's more like an arse piss."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that gives you a bit of an idea. And you were wondering if this was a family-friendly show.
Yeah, I don't know why I was putting it down. I think we're fine.
Yeah, dang. So you guys have got a few other tracks you've been working on. So is there a specific time frame as to when you think there will be like an EP? Is it an EP you guys are shooting for?
To be honest, I think we're kind of just overshooting the whole EP option altogether, and we're just gonna, the only thing we've spoken about with regards to a plan is kind of like maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 singles maximum, and then next year just go album.
Mm-hmm.
Just seems easier. I mean, what you always used to do an EP because you couldn't afford to record an album because it just takes up too much studio time. So that'll fuck it. We can afford to do 2 days. We'll do 3 songs.
Yes.
Now we haven't got to worry about that because Andy is a bit at home. It will take us longer, but we can do it the most cost effective way possible by not paying any money whatsoever. So I think just like we'll do a few singles and then we'll just drop an album. I hate that term, drop an album. That really pisses me off. See, I guess single drops today, trailer drops today. I hate it. I'm really disappointed in myself for having said that. We'll throw an album at people when we're ready to do that.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. Like I says, Lewis Capaldi just put his music up on SoundCloud and was contacted by a manager who had bigger vision. You know? Yep. SoundCloud, that's what happened. And the best of it is, right, is he was singing into his phone. That was it. He was singing at his phone. Nothing special. He was just singing with his wee guitar and his phone.
He's got a cracking voice, though, isn't he?
Yeah, unbelievable. Would you let me tell you this, though, by the way? Right? I used to be in a band with Lewis's older brother. So I used to be around his house a lot. And Lewis, from the youngest age, would grab a guitar and would always play. And he had such a baby voice. That voice did not, like, he must have worked something because his original voice, I say original because what I remember, he didn't sound like that. And then something happened one day and oh my God. And we knew about it before, obviously, before he went big time, right? But he used to play the bars local to where literally a stone throw away from my house. And oh my God, even there, everybody was like, right, this guy's got something. And so it's not a surprise that he went to where he went, you know? But that just shows you the landscape now of what the music industry really is. It's not controlled. Well, it is controlled to an extent, but if you really put your effort in and you work hard enough and you've got the talent to go along with it, there's really not anything that can stop you. All it takes is one video of you guys performing and it can do the rounds. And before you know it, you know, you've got a career in music. So fingers crossed that when your album drops or is thrown at someone, you know, at least, you know, there's always now that, like, and I don't know if you guys were playing music or releasing music back when MySpace was a thing. I mean, that's what it was for me, right? At that point, no one ever got big from MySpace. No. You know, there wasn't that viral option, you know, putting a bulletin out. But now you just don't know what the response is going to be. You know, you don't know what's around the corner when you do it, when you put that music out there. So there's always that excitement. And, you know, based on lip service, I'm excited to see what is coming next for you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's going to be see where it goes. And I think that the key thing for us is that we're not going to really go in with a plan. So if the mood takes us one way. The way that we write, we'll have a song which has started off. I mean, to give an example, that I another thing that I sort of noodled around in that I'd basically thrown in the bin. I sent it over to Lou probably about 3 years ago, I guess. And it was over. And then about a week ago, Lou sent me something back with some guitar parts he put over the top of it. And it's like, we've got a song here. This is like completely come back. So it's kind of like going back through the recycle bin on the Mac, trying to find the original file to get.
Yeah.
But I got rid of that. And it's Lou adding that element that makes me think, oh, okay, we can do something here. And that's, we've historically done quite well to go, you know, it could be the tiniest little change, but it'll be like, yeah, that's made a hell of a difference. And And we're also quite good, I think, at being able to say, no, I don't like that, and it'd be okay. I think that's quite a, you know, you guys must have a similar thing. You need to be able to say, no, that's no good.
No, I mean, usually J-Mac will say, oh, I loved it. I'll go, that's shite. And he'll go, don't you want to keep it in? And I go, yeah, no worries. And then the episode goes out and it's missing. usually we always kind of, we come to an even ground most of the time. I mean, you're right. And as well, a podcast, I mean, the reason I got into podcasting is because I was sick of working with people doing music because, I'd spend about 6 months to a year building a band. We'd get into the studio, record one song, two songs, and then they'd all go and join other bands.
Yeah.
I'm like, so I just felt like continuously seeing this repeat, and I could never kind of get on the same wavelength as other people. I was always like committed to the cause. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to bust my ass, you know, and I never felt like that was ever reciprocated. So I was like, do you know what? I'll start a podcast because all I need is a microphone, a laptop, and me. So I'm only holding myself accountable, right? And then J-Mac came on board because I knew myself. I needed, just like what you guys are saying, I needed the salt and pepper to my ideas. And he brought that, you know. And it's been 2 years in now, and it's ready to change our life in the next few years. So I'd say it's going pretty well. And that's that again. You just never know what's going to happen when you put yourself and your stuff out there. Can be very daunting, to the point you're like, right, it's almost like you're stripping yourself naked and walking down the street and everybody's looking at you. But I think once you're not afraid and you go, hey, I'm just like everybody else. The difference is I've taken my clothes off, right? Mm-hmm. Which makes me braver than all you motherfuckers. So watch me fucking walk this line, you know? And I think
it's funny, really, because that exactly, even being in a, like when we were in the band years ago, we were all really tight friends, like really, really. Like, one of the band members was Andy's brother. So like we were all close people.
Yeah. But
walking in there on a day when I had a new song, I had to play it acoustically to the other four. But they were some of the most frightening fucking days of my life. And he'd stand there kind of going like, right. And he'd play the intro four fucking times. You just couldn't bring yourself to sing that first line because you start thinking like, oh, God, what if it's shit? What if I get to the end of it and they say it's shit? They don't want to play it. And at that point, you start thinking, oh, well, I'm shit. This is we've got no songs left. We've already used all the good songs. We'll just play this five and split up like, fuck this. Yeah. But I've had to become a lot less precious this time around because the song that we've got coming out next, as I say, is a song I wrote 9 years ago. And when I sent the vocals to Andy, he got like massively inspired, just rewrote the end of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent it to me and I was like, oh, fuck. That's not what shit. This song's 10 years old and he's changed the end of it. Fuck. Shit. Need to call my therapist like right now. I need to like try and work for it. But it's one like you take a step back from it and you go, actually, yeah, he's made it better. He's made mm-hmm. it. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I would have been like, don't change my song.
Yeah.
That's fucking 10 years old, mate. That's gold. That's in the bank. Money. Fuck you.
10 years ago, I'd have negotiated carefully, though. I wouldn't have just gone, here's the finished thing. Think of this. Yeah. Right. Okay, yeah. But saying that same song, I tried something else on this song and you were like, nope, that's not the one. And I put it back. And he was right. He was absolutely right. You know,
he got a little bit wanky.
I put an oboe in basically, and he was like, "You're not putting." For years, I've wanted to put an oboe into.
I can see an oboe from 20 yards, mate. If you put an oboe in there, it's going to get sussed out. I'm not having it.
Happen.
more like Nobo.
Oh man.
Peak there.
I feel you. Sometimes there's, and again, this is in most walks of life, really, communication really is the key when you're creating something, because it's so, it's precious. It's something that, it's almost like your child, you're creating something. So you take ownership and you almost protect that. And when the person, I mean, even it's like a marriage, right? So there'll be times where Jordan and I will kind of, his name's Jordan, by the way. He only calls himself J-Mac for I don't know what reason. but his name's, so if you hear me say Jordan, that's him. But when it comes to, sometimes we'll put ideas together for, be it the documentary we're filming or any of the other projects we do with the Jibber Jabber podcast. If there's something I don't like, and he's sussed it now, right? If I don't like something, I'll go, all right,
Right, I see what you mean. And straight away he goes, you hate it. And I'm like, how do I make it so that, you know, and I don't try and shoot him down. What I always will do is if he comes up with an idea, I'll say, and if I don't think it works, I'll say, well, here's why I don't think it works. But how about we try and take that idea and let's mold it into something quite similar that will work. Right. And I always give the reasons as to why I don't think it works. And I'm the kind of guy that will happily, if he comes up with a golden egg idea, right, I'm happy to just be like, right, well, you know, this only makes our show better, you know, which is just, it's a collaboration. So I always kind of try and leave my ego at the door, but I am quite hands-on. I'm a very hands-on person. And I think that's probably why I'm the only one that edits the show. And I think if he was to turn around and say to me, because I'm always like, yeah, I'm the only one that does all the editing and stuff. But if he was to turn around and say to me, I'll edit it, I'd be frightened. Yeah. Like, oh no, because it's been this way for so long. What's he going to change? I'd be a nervous wreck, you know? So I think it suits us both, him being able to just hit end call, right? And me just being like, right, give me this podcast and I'll just do what I do. Because he likes it. He doesn't complain. So I totally feel that between music, marriage, and, you know, podcasting, there's definitely that element of trying to make sure that your DNA stays on the project at hand. But at the same time, you have to give up a little, you know? It's like your life, right? You've got too many DVDs. She's moving in. You got some have to go, right? You just got to choose which ones. So I take it.
Forged that as a thing over many years of various techniques from kicking the keck out of each other and lose back.
Oh, it's frozen again.
Gone. We had a game used called Night Football. Where you guys ever.
Go again.
And they swooped down and saved him. I was saying we used to have a game. This was kind of training, I think, for what we do now. And it was a game that you couldn't play unless you'd been drinking for a good 3 or 4 hours. And it would normally be to break away from, I don't know, playing a bit of PlayStation or whatever.
Does he know he's frozen?
I don't think so.
And you would have to go out barefoot.
Sorry, mate. You were speaking there, and then you stopped, and then you caught up with yourself, like, you know, when you hit fast forward on an old VHS.
The annoying thing is, I know the story he's trying to tell, and I really want to hear it. So, like, if you could... come on, Andy.
So, We used to have a game, right? And it was a game that we play, and we used to play it, didn't we?
What game was it?
Key point. It was a game called Night Football. And you may or may not have heard before that you need to be very drunk to play it. Basically, you go out in the dark with a full-size football and a half-size goal? No shoes.
It wasn't half-size. I spent a lot of money on that goal. That was like...
All right, mate. Don't worry.
The goal size is important. You bought goals. I don't want these people thinking I cheap out and buy a small little size.
He definitely does, right?
The more defensive I get, everyone's like, yeah,
it's a shit goal.
It represented everything about his masculinity and just personality in general. Fucking shit goal.
Like a 5'8" size goal. And basically anything went. So there was no goalkeeper. You just ran up and down the garden in the pitch black, and you could do anything to score, and you could do anything to defend, including pushing people into very sharp bushes. And
in the bushes, you could kick them. That was fun.
And Lou's housemate joined us once, and was like, "No, I'm not doing that."
You know, that's the way I actually used to play football, because I was never a football kind of guy, right? Whenever I was at school, I was always picked last for the football team. Not because I was shit. It was just because people knew I was in the music room playing music. I just wasn't on the football field. So when I did eventually get forced to join one of the teams, they would chuck me in goals. And if I wasn't in goals, none of my team would pass to me, because they wouldn't look at me as part of their team or part of the fucking game. So what I did do was just like, do you know what? It's me versus the world. And I'll just fucking hack everybody and literally rip their feet out from beneath them and then take the ball and try and score it. And they're like, what's the matter? You're in my team. Why are you kicking me? I'm like, oh, now I'm in your team, huh? funny that I shouted pass three times back there and nobody passed.
You were ready for night football. You're
exactly.
The best thing about it as well is quite often that, like, we would have been recorded. We'd actually been recording demos and shit like that. And as soon as it was dark enough, we were drunk enough. It was like, yeah, fuck it. Let's go and kick the shit out of each other. That was basically, maybe you might have even had like a fraught session or a really good one. But it's like, let's just go and kick the shit out of each other. Take your drinks as well. Like, you were definitely more of a winner if you could, like, absolutely hack the other one down and leave him in a bush. Go and score a goal, but not spill your beer. That's legendary status.
That's boss mode.
Also led to the fantastic moment, that fantastic moment where you put your beer on the side because it's getting serious, and you're willing to kick the living shit out of each other if the ball goes beers. Everyone's like, whoa!
Never mind the beer, fucking hell. That was definitely good training for diplomacy.
You know, if ever there's going to be a song that you guys do in Drop D, and it's going to be the heaviest song you have, it has to be called Nighttime Football, right? Yeah. Holy shit, man. I'd love to listen to it. Right?
Music video right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You can just see it now. Oh, God, we'll come and film it for you guys. We've got the full shebang, lighting the lot.
Oh, that's too tempting to say no to, isn't it? Yeah.
You guys make that song happen, and I promise you, because we'll be back down in... Is both of you guys from Manchester?
No, South End.
Oh,
you know what's happening down here, mate? It's horrible. It's shit. It's terrible.
We're a long way from Manchester. Adam's Manchester. I'm down in, or we're both down in Essex. So about 5 hours south of, basically, we're next to London.
All right. Well, we'll be down in London. We're supposed to be there already, but lockdown happened. So we'll be down in London if we get a couple of days off from filming documentary. We'll make it happen, right?
Yeah. Sounds good.
You won't need your lights because it's night football, but otherwise, bring your cameras.
We will because we can still shoot night, but we'll need the lights to light you guys up. Otherwise, we'll just see nothing.
Well, that could happen. I mean, the age we are now might not be good for.
I went to the park the other day, like when lockdown was eased. Went and met Bill, our friend Bill, used to be in our old band with us. I went and met him at his house, and we had like a barbecue. We were like, oh, let's go and kick a football around. It'd be fucking brilliant. When we kicked the football around for 5 minutes, and then we both sat there and went, fuck, can we go home? Yeah. Everything hurt, shattered, sweating. We weren't even running about. We were just kicking it long distance. Like, I'm way too fucked in general. Kind of physical activity anymore. It's embarrassing. It really is.
I found that when I started putting a bit of the beef on, and I was like, do you know, I need to actually go out running. And then I went out, I started running, and I was like, why did I forget how to run? Like, what the fuck happened here? It's like I don't even know how to run anymore. And it never used to hurt when I ran that fast. You know? How bizarre, right? The body and how it changes when you start to get past 25.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Absolutely. So, it's looking good. Lip Service, I believe, you got a cracking review from that. What was the name of that review place? It was a website.
It was.
All Things Loud.
All Things Loud, that's right. Sorry, I should have had that noted down. you guys got a good review from All Things Loud. Has anybody else reached out to you to talk about your music yet? Have you got a good response so far?
Anybody who's heard it has been really, really complimentary. I mean, our problem, it cycles back to what you were talking about earlier with, like, effort. We struggle with effort. Effort is something that eludes us often because we think, as the second we achieve something, and this is what happened in our old band as well, you start achieving things, you go, cool, let's take our foot off the gas for a minute and just kind of, wallow in what we've done, let it flood over us, look how good we are, and then you realize that like 2 months have gone by and you've done fuck all since and everyone's forgotten you already.
Oh, easily. See, with a podcast as well, so easy to happen. Do you actually, Andy, you do take part in the microcast, right?
That's right, yeah.
Right, so you guys have had some good downloads on that, right? And you'll be able to relate. We Jabber Jabber podcast about 3 episodes ago done 120,000. Right?
Wow.
Right? And then 18.
Shit.
Right? what the fuck?
Is that slacking off on promo or what is that?
No, do you know what? I think because the Jibber Jabber podcast, we kind of cover a lot of things. It's mainly movies and music. Movies and TV shows. We will bounce into music like what we're doing, paranormal and wrestling. I think people, our fan base, they're there always, but they'll read the description and go, this one's no for me.
Well, in which case, I apologize in advance for your low viewing hearing figures ever.
No.
My mum will definitely listen.
Oh, yes. Shout out to your mum.
Shout out to Lewis's mum.
Yes.
My mum won't.
Sorry, my mum doesn't. In fact, I think she's listened like 3 times. So just goes to show, right? So your next single. Do you guys have a working title for it so far?
Yeah, well, as I say, the song was written 9 years ago, so it's been had the same title for 9 years.
Nice.
It's only the ending that's changed. The next single is called From Afar. And it's a bit more poppy than the last one. It's a bit more, there's some acoustic guitar in it. There's a lot of strings. There's a lot of piano. It's very, unless you listen to the lyrics, it's really uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how we like to work. We like to make stuff sound uplifting. If you listen to the lyrics, think, fuck me, cheer up, you prick.
Right.
Yeah, it works for me. So, yeah, it's called From Afar, and we're hoping it'll be out. We're almost ready to submit it for mastering, so maybe like 2 or 3 weeks it should be out.
Literally.
He's got it open.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All four tracks of it.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, we'll have you guys back on when that drops. I know you're so fond of that word. I suppose if it's, you know, if you've got them in succession, each time you drop a track, we should come on and talk about it. Lip Service, I mean, I'm trying to think what I got from it. For me, I mean, Lip Service is almost like a love note to a breakup. Is that right?
It's a tiny bit more abstract than that. It's basically, I'm sure we've all been in a situation where you kind of find yourself on the hook a little bit, where somebody's maybe looking around for something a little bit better before they're actually saying to you, like, yeah, cool, all right, let's give this a shot. It's pretty much written about something, a situation from years ago where I kind of was just basically being kept on the back burner whilst that other person looked around for something better. And that was just basically my way of, I mean, not my way of saying it, obviously, because I never would have said it to the person at the time. And it's, uh-huh. It's 3 years later, so they have no idea I exist anymore.
Oh.
But yeah, that's basically what it was. It was kind of like, look, tell me to go fuck myself so I can just get on with my own life.
Oh, but I could find a better guitarist, so
you know him. Oh, you know, you should have taken her out to play some nighttime football.
Oh, God.
I mean, that song could have been called Nighttime Football.
That song would have been called Pending Lawsuit.
Nice. I'm sure I'll get a few of them at some point. You know, I'll not ask you too much about the next track, From Afar, because I'd like to get you guys back on and we'll chat about that when it's done. So what I'll do is, with ending the show, I will play Lip Service for the listeners at home. But everybody that is listening, go ahead and check out Cam These Tides on Spotify. I mean, Spotify is where it's at right now, isn't it?
It's everywhere.
So you would probably direct them all to Spotify anyway. I mean, I think that's where you make bank, right?
Yeah, that's, well, not, we get to see that, but I can see stats of it in my OCD kind of like, I like even numbers. So if people can just tick that over, that'd be great.
Spread it out, guys. Spread it. Check the plays on Spotify. And if they look pretty even to Apple Music, head over to Deezer or something.
Please do. It'll help me sleep better.
Don't want to put anyone out, but, you know, that'd be great. Thanks. Get all platforms before listening. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys for coming on. And we will make sure to get you guys back on again. You guys are obviously welcome on anytime. But each time you guys release a piece of music, we will discuss it right here on the Jibber Jabber podcast.
Amazing. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Perfect, guys.
Cheers, bud.
Huge thanks to Lewis and Andy for coming on the show. Make sure to check them out everywhere, and we'll have them back on at a later date to talk about their new upcoming tune.
So make sure to check out Calm These Tides and their song Lip Service on definitely not SoundCloud. However, they should go ahead and upload it to that platform. So check them out on Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere that you can get music. It's LIP Service, Lip Service by Calm These Tides. We are for this evening out of time. So thank you very much for listening. If this is your first time, please leave us a review wherever you're listening to, and that kind of gives us an idea as to what to do next. Like I said at the start of the show, we have some really cool, exciting stuff coming up. But to play us out at the end of the show here, it is Calm These Tides with Lip Service.
Yeah.